Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Grey Leopard Code with Gary Norris Gray. Gary will be coming to you each Saturday, 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, talking sports live on GLC.
I think Dallas and Nashville got to try to think of this.
tournament, but you go with what you got. And we got a call ready. All right. I think this is deal that he's doing, as it looks like.
Yeah, Gary, this is Chris Murray.
Oh, good. How you doing, Chris?
I'm doing great, man. How are you?
Okay. I'm gonna go to the hockey thing. And then can you come hang on for a minute?
Come on, say that again. I'm sorry.
I'm gonna do a hockey interlude for a minute, and then we're gonna do the wide football club.
Okay.
All right. I'm gonna do a little bit of hockey. It'll be about 5 minutes, and then I'll get back to the football stuff.
Okay.
All right. And the East Coast Hockey League, the Toronto Maple Leafs had a real good start, and Phil Kessel scored 2 goals, and then finally had a goaltender, Jonathan Brenner, the Los Angeles Kings. The Pittsburgh Penguins, which did the kids scoring as again. But anyway, one mistake. They traded brother Jerome Ingram to Boston Bruins. That's a big mistake. I think Ingram could have improved the Penguins scoring power. Andre Fleury and Thomas Bacoon once again for battling for the New York Islanders with John Tavares and Gobert got Oscar Bowe. All of their Islanders hope will depend on if getting them back off. So they got the Eastern Division with Detroit in their division now. In the West, San Jose Sharks, boy, these guys are hot. They won last night with rookie Thomas Hurdle scoring 5 goals. And Joe Thornton has to lead his team to the championship in the NHL. San Jose had no chance if Joe Thornton didn't show up. Andy Niemi and Ned, the St. Louis Blues, with Derek Roy, and Cody Yaroslavlak and Brian Elliott. This is the team that I think will go out of the West. The sleeper, the St. Louis Blues. Another sleeper is the Colorado Avalanche, with John Sebastian Giguere and Netton. And this will get Jiggy in Colorado Avalanche. And we cannot forget the Soul Brothers and Winnipeg Jets with their United Nations Stewart, Bufflin, Kane, Montoya, and Zeniguchi. Those are 5 good brothers on the ice. Now they can only buy a goaltender in Winnipeg. All right, I will get back to you with the rookies of the NHL. I'm going to get back to Chris Murray. Get Murray over there. Okay, Chris, you back here?
Hey, how, yeah, how are you, Gary? How's everything?
Okay. I had a difficulty with the Washington Football Club and their name. Now, I've been battling this group for 8 years, and the Cleveland Indians. The Cleveland Indians and their logo and the Washington Football Club with their name both need to be retired right now. What's your take on these two issues?
Well, I mean, I think you're absolutely right. They do need to be retired, especially the Cleveland Indians logo. If I were a Native American, I'd be pretty offended by that logo. And I think that what it's going to take to to get them to finally end that logo. I think people have to keep the pressure. They have to keep writing letters, and they have to keep demanding that the team, you know, get rid of that, you know, that logo. And also, you know, I wonder how the Native American community, you know, feels in terms of, I mean, I think a lot of them are against, you know, being trivialized. You know, you're basically trivializing a group of human beings into a mascot. And considering what happened to Native Americans, to me, that's wrong.
Well, it also interests me that our politicians outside of Washington, D.C., have not said a word about this. President Obama has made a comment, but it wasn't. Back in 1961, President Kennedy told the Washington Football Club, "You will integrate. If you don't integrate, you will leave that stadium." Well, Preston Marshall had to get a black player in 1961. Well, the same thing has to happen today with President Obama. Had to say, look, you have to change the name or get the hell out of Washington, D.C.
Right. And I think, you know, the thing is, Daniel Snyder seems determined to keep the name. But I think that I don't know how much power the president has on that. You know, I would like to think that he does, but the thing is that we still have to step the pressure up to, you know, kind of people in general have to step the pressure up on that team because I would like I said, I like to see that really the Native American community, you know, just, you know, really, I mean, I understand they've been pretty active in their protests against, you know, the Redskins. To me, you know, the Redskins name is the most egregious of all because it is, you know, it's almost akin to some Native Americans I've heard over the years to use the N-word.
Yeah.
And the thing is, at some point they have to, you know, I mean, that name has to stop. I mean, you know, they have to change that name and the logo and all that, you know. I just think that to trivialize a group of people as mascots, I think is wrong. It's just overall wrong. Although, ironically, the Seminole Nation allows Florida State the use of the terms Seminoles and what have you.
You know the reason why it happens. The reason why Florida State uses Seminole Nation is because Florida State is paying money to the Seminole Nation. That's why they're allowed to use that name.
Right. And that's fine. I mean, you know, if that's up to the, that's what the Seminole Nation want, well, if that's what they want, then, you know, then I can't, you know, necessarily argue with that. If you're getting money out of it, okay,
yeah.
that's even better. But I do think that the Redskins has a name. I think that name should long have been changed. And I also think that, you know, and it's the same thing with the Cleveland Indians. They need to get both rid of the name and that, you know, logo, because that's almost, like I say, that's almost like putting out the old Sambo, like in the old restaurant Sambo's and whatnot, which is now Denny's. And that to me is just, you know, it's offensive. And I don't think that at this juncture in history that we should go around offending people because, you know, we shouldn't, especially other minority. I mean, we're all Americans in this country, but especially not something as egregious to the first Americans, the Native Americans. And I think that the time has come, long come, for us to, you know, to change both the Redskins and the Indians.
Well, I think it's going to take a real effort on Americans, especially African Americans should be in full support of our Native American brothers and sisters, because this will not get changed until we join Latino Americans, African Americans, Asian Americans, join hands and say, okay, enough is enough. We do not want the Washington Football Club name. We do not want the Cleveland 1962, you have not won a single day of sentence. And they were told in 62. This is what people get when they're told they do something wrong and they continue to do it. This is what the Cleveland Indians, the Cleveland Cavaliers, and the Cleveland Browns have not won a single tournament, a single national since then. They were told in 62, this is wrong. You need to correct this. Well, guess what? The Cleveland Cavaliers have been 5 times to the playoffs, lost. The Browns, 4 times, lost. Okay, you need to get a clue.
So you're saying basically... You're basically saying that basically karma and what that you know, Cleveland might be the victim of karma because of that whole thing. I mean, you might be right about that. I mean, I do think that, you know, sometimes when you do wrong in the world, I guess it kind of comes back to you. And I think that in the case of, you know, the city of Cleveland, I'm not going to say that, but it's just that I think at the end of the day, you know, if you want to look at it, I guess, from a weird karma or spiritual kind of thing, you know, that might be the case because you don't go through the world doing wrong. And I think that I think the city of Cleveland needs to change. I don't know, you know, what's going to happen. We all have to step up. African Americans, Latinos, all of us have to kind of step up in that effort to convince people that you don't trivialize, you know, human beings in the mascots. He's not even a sport.
The reason why they people get away with this is because there's no political power in the Native American community. There's no real big political power in the Native American community, and there's no economic power in the Native American Indian community. These two issues, the political and monetary power, allows Cleveland to do this. Example, in Atlanta, the Atlanta Braves, the Native American in Georgia told the Braves, you know, you need to change your stuff, right? The Atlanta Braves did the right thing. They took everything off of their uniform and then the name. They took everything Native American off their uniform. Why can't the Cleveland Indians do the same thing? Why can't the Washington Football Club change their name? Because you have an owner, that refuses to change.
Mm-hmm.
That's fine. Chris.
Yeah. I mean, that you know, you're right. I mean, I think that it's you know, especially with Snyder, just his intransigence, you know, just insisting on keeping the name and everything, and not even understanding, you know, why people are offended by the name. And you know, you would think that he would, but you know, it's just it's sad to me that he does not. And I think, like I say again, I think people are going to step up the pressure even more, you know, to say, hey, look, man, change the name. I mean, Abe Poland did it, you know, when Washington was going through all the shooting and everything. We changed the name from Bullets to Wizards. I mean, you know, you would think that he would, you know, you would think that would happen. But unfortunately and sadly, it's not happening. People are just going to have to just, you know, just keep protesting and keep fighting until they make that change. And I think it's a change that's really overdue.
Well, what day or later is about what America is about right now. Daniel Snyder is a portrait of what America is going through right now. Mm-hmm. It's me and my you know, I got this right. I'm doing this my way. I'm gonna do this. This is what Snyder is about right now.
Yeah, I mean, it's sort of like the mentality of those who shut down the government. It's a kind of a thing where they don't want to listen to the people and all that. In the last presidential election, the people spoke. The people who put in Barack Obama represent a cross section of Americans. And you know, the thing is, you know, the people who voted him in, you know, the Latinos, the Asians, and all and people like that. You know, those are the people, you know, like I say, you know, if, you know, we need to listen to those voices. I mean, that's America now. America is not just Caucasian males and everything. I mean, it's everybody. And, you know, in that particular group, like the Tea Partiers and all that, they're not saying, you know, they're still trying to fight this mentality because they think America is all about them.
Yep, that's right. So, what are you doing these days?
Well, you know, I'm still running the Chris Murray Report. We're getting to the games and stuff, and we are in a situation where, you know, we're still following the quarterback situation with Michael Vick. My latest article, I kind of wrote about it. You know, there's a media bias. You know, I don't know.
I would ask this question about Michael Vick. There are nine black dirty quarterbacks right now. And
right.
The NFL, let's be honest, they do not want a black quarterback in the NFL. Let's be real about this, you know. And what Michael Vick did was open the door for Colin Kaepernick, for E.J. Manuel, for Cam Newton, et cetera. Now, and I've not been a black quarterback in the Super Bowl since Doug Williams. And what they did to Doug Williams was inexcusable. Remember now, when the MVP is in the Super Bowl, what does he do? He goes to Disneyland, right? He goes to Disneyland, correct?
Yeah.
Well, when Doug Williams was the MVP, he didn't go to Disneyland. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So it tells America we do not want black quarterbacks. What do they go at?
Well, you know, I don't know. I mean, I think that I think that things have gotten a little bit better than the time that Doug Williams, I say better, but you still see the malingering signs of, you know, you still see it. You still see it in a sense that, like, you watch it here, you know, and I wrote an article basically saying that, you know, Michael Vick probably has to have a 300 or 400 yard game every doggone week, because, you know, a lot of people aren't necessarily, you know, if he messes up one time, it's like, oh, God, this is the one time he messed up, he shouldn't be the starter. And, you know, the thing is, you know, I kind of watched the whole tryout between Vic and Foles, and Vic did a good job. Not about Foles, to be honest, I thought Foles did a good job too, but I thought Vic was just better. And I still say that Vic gives that team the best chance to win. But there is a large sentiment amongst media folk here that, you know, and I don't, that, um,
that, you know, they for some reason think that, you know, they like Foles for some reason. They like Foles better and everything. And, you know, but and you could kind of see it. And it was just one of those things where I just, you know, but it did, you know, Vic was outplaying him. And I think that, you know, every time Vic flips up, has a bad game, it's always, you know, the suggestion to, you know, to bench him and whatnot. And that's the thing that bothers me is that,
things haven't been super duper for him, but he's done a good job of taking care of the ball. He's thrown only a couple of interceptions, and the team moves. You know, he moves the team, and so he gets hurt, and, you know, everybody wants to now, you know, replace him as the permanent starter. I think it's somewhat ludicrous. It's ridiculous.
Okay. Now let me drop a little history on you guys right now. Now, what did they call Michael Vick? They call Michael Vick a running quarterback, correct?
Yeah.
They call Josh Freeman a running quarterback, correct? They call EJ Manuel a running quarterback, right?
Well, they're a mobile quarterback. I mean, right.
Back in the day, you had Brad Targeted. Hello, you had Rodgers, Dodgers, Starbucks, right? The exact same thing you guys are doing. Now, why is it that E.J. Manuel, Colin Kaepernick, Michael Vick is looking at a different light than Rodgers, Starbucks, and Brad Targeted? It's quarterback in the same position and doing the same thing.
Mm-hmm. I agree with you. You're absolutely right about that. You know, I mean, those guys are mobile quarterbacks, but those guys also throw the ball downfield a lot, especially Michael Vick and also, you know, EJ, especially EJ Manuel when the game, what I saw of him this year. I mean, that's a guy, you know, that's a guy who knows how to throw the football. I just think that, you know, again, has it gotten better? It's gotten better, but it's still working. Some of the attitudes are still there. I hate to say it. You know, people.
Just give me this. When they call Darrell Breyer an athlete and then a quarterback. When they call Geno Smith an athlete and then a quarterback. When they call Russell Wilson an athlete. Look. Stop playing word games and let's get real, right?
Yeah. And you're right. You're absolutely right about that. I mean, it's a stereotype, and it's one of those things where you know those guys, you know, they will always get that label and whatnot. And I think a lot of times that label is unfair. I mean, Colin Kaepernick took the 49ers to the Super Bowl, especially in the NFC Championship game, by his ability to throw the football. Let's be clear about that. And I think that a lot of people aren't necessarily clear about that. Is that you know, those guys throw the football downfield, and the stereotypes are there and whatnot. And the only thing I think what those guys have to do. Those guys have to just keep proving them. I hate to say it. They just have to keep proving themselves. And I think one of these days is going to be a run of Super Bowls where one of those so-called, you know, mobile quarterbacks wins it and whatnot. There's going to be a run of Super Bowls that they're going to win. They're going to win it. Hopefully, you know, people will stop, you know, using those terms just as a code word, you know, for black athletes and whatnot, which I think you would think that by now we've gotten through that, and we haven't.
Well, also, you're in Philadelphia, right? You're up.
Mm-hmm.
What's going on with the Philadelphia Flyers?
They can't score. I mean, that's the bottom line. You know, I watched. You know, I covered the opening game. And, you know, they just cannot
score. I mean, the first game when I saw them last week, I think they went like 1 out of 6 on the power play, and
yeah.
I think they went about the same thing I think in last night's game, and or somewhere in the air. They just they work hard. This is the thing that I guess is frustrating about for Flyers fans is that the guys work hard. You know, Claude Giroux and those guys really work hard. They work the puck around, but it seems like when they try to get when they're in the point or in the slot, they just can't. They just don't do a good job of just shooting the puck in. I mean, they're just not shooting it well, for lack of a better word. And they just have to do a better job of it. Somebody has to step up and be a scorer on that team. And you know, maybe the goals will come in bunches and everything, but. You know, you really have to start scoring because they're getting good. Mason's doing a good job in net for them, and you know, they're doing everything. They're working hard. That's the problem. But you know, you got to score.
What happened to Ed Coach? What was wrong with that? Why did they have 3 games?
Well, because I think that, you know, I think they were worried that, you know, that they just felt that what they saw in the first couple of games was just a reoccurrence of last year. And that's something that Holmgren, you know, first, you know, Holmgren, you know, I think earlier this year said, well, you know, it might have been because of the lockout and everything. But I just think, and I just think that they did that maybe to shake things up. I don't know if even the players this week have said that it's not really, it wasn't Lobby's fault. It's just that, you know, guys got scored, and sometimes, you know, you got to shake things up. Maybe those guys have kind of, you know, tuned out the coach and everything. And that happens, and that seems to happen a lot, you know, is that, you know, sometimes you keep players will tune out their coach, and you know. But in that situation, Lobby can't score goals for him. Peter Lobby cannot score goals for him, and those guys got to figure out ways to score. I mean, that's really the bottom line. And sometimes you make decisions like that just to kind of shake up things, you know. Just to kind of shake.
Are they going to play Ray Emery and last two questions? Are they going to play Ray Emery and Nat? How is Simmons doing at center or right wing?
The thing is, it's just the fact that, you know, the whole team is not scoring. I've seen Simmons a little bit. I mean, no one is really scoring for this team. I think he's doing a good job. I mean, I remember going back to the first game that I covered. He had a chance to get a goal on a penalty shot, and he missed it. And you know, completely missed it and everything. And maybe he was still because there was one point where he had he was like right on the Toronto goaltender,
yeah.
and he got pulled down. And, you know, it looked like he was going to score. But that's the kind of luck. I mean, that's emblematic of the kind of breaks that they've not been getting in terms of scoring. And a lot of times, you know, you have to have some breaks in order to win and everything. You got to get those chances to score. And I believe at some point they are going to get those opportunities. I mean, a lot of times that comes in bunches and everything. And so you would hope that they would get those opportunities. But no,
Is Ray Emery gonna be in net soon?
I think he will. But right now, Mason's hot right now.
Right.
I think
right.
he will. I think he will at some point. But Mason has been hot. And then Mason has done. Their problems. You can't blame it on the goalkeeping. And I think when Emery gets it, Emery's a darn good goalkeeper. I'm gonna tell you that now.
Yeah.
It's just that sometimes one guy's hot and he's hot. I mean, Mason's hot.
That last question. Let you go. Is Toronto Maple Leafs, are they for real?
It's always too early to tell this season. I saw them in that game. I thought that I saw that they, to me, they were okay, but they, you know, they're not. I mean, it's wow, we got a long way to go in the season. It's really too early.
And what's going on in New York and North Jersey and the Devils and the Rangers? I can't believe that both of these teams are last place in the East. Both of these teams have not played well. Both of these teams have not played defense at all. And New Jersey is the base of New Jersey in defense. This is awful. The Devils looking at the last 2 weeks.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like I said, you would have to hope they give you. I've not seen a lot of. I mean, I saw Jersey in the preseason, but you would like to think that they would, you know, at some point. It's still, like I said, we're a week into the season and everything, and you would like to think that they would get it together. But at this point, you know, they just aren't getting anywhere.
I think Brodeur is a little bit beyond his years now, and I think he needs to retire and let the kids take over, because I think he's taking up space now. He's an All-Fame goaltender. We all know that. The guy will be an All-Fame immediately after he retires. So why don't you just let the kids take over and move on?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, that's true. I mean, you know, it seems like that guy's been there forever. I mean, it's like,
yeah.
You know, I know it seems like, you know, I mean, but it seems like those guys hang on. Didn't Patrick Waugh hang on for a long time?
Yeah,
I mean, a lot of guys, you know, like to hang on, and you have some of the owners, some people have been, because of all times they've won, are fiercely loyal to these guys, man, and. You know, at some point you do have to hang up. You know, you do have to hang up the skates and everything.
Yeah.
I mean, it happens. We all get old. I was joking around saying that I can't run across the street fast anymore. So we all get old. We all get old at some point. But as far as hockey right now, I mean, right now I still say we're early, but. But, you know, but you can see some things that, you know, like, you know, we all ask the question, will Philly ever score on a consistent basis again?
Yeah.
I mean, and that's, you know, that's the thing that, you know, that's the question, I think, and who's going to step up and emerge as a scorer
yeah.
for them? So, you know, those are things that, you know, we still, we are in October. We have a long, long season. And as far as I'm concerned, you know, we still have to just let it play out. But, you know, a lot of times coaches, you know, manage people fire guys, you know, they do things to shake things up more than anything else, more than just, you know, not to say the other guys. I mean, sometimes you need a different voice. And I wish Craig Berube, you know, a lot of luck with that.
Yeah, yeah. One more note before you get out of here is the Sixers, what are the Sixers doing as far as forward the centers and how do they look for 2013?
Well, because I've been around the Eagles so much, I've not seen a lot of them. I've seen bits and pieces of the Sixers.
You know, I get the feeling that's going to be something that they're still trying to work out at this point. I haven't gotten down to training camp and all that yet. A lot of it's out of the area, but I suspect at this point they're going to work those. They really need to work those things out, and they need to find a score. They need to find, you know, I'm wondering if Evan Turner is going to be, you know, that guy who's going to be able to score on a consistent basis, and that. And the thing is, you know, how much will Michael Carter Williams develop, and you know, how much, you know, will how are they going to work in guys like Thaddeus Young and all those other people? I mean, Thaddeus Young is probably amongst their forwards, one of the best guys. Spencer Hawes is in there, but You know, I don't think Spencer Hall is a long-term solution for them.
Right.
He can score a little bit, but he's not, you know, I mean, he's not, you know, something, watching him last year, he really wasn't that consistent last year.
Who's their big center now?
I think it's Hawes. I haven't seen a lot of the Sixers this year, but I'm saying it's Hawes for right now. I know that they're also looking at the kid out of Kentucky, who's hurt right now, so they're not going to get him until later in the season.
Right. Well, give your shameless plug for what you're doing and how you're doing online, and I see you all the time.
The Chris Murray Report.
ChrisMurrayReport.org. I'm also a freelance writer with the Philadelphia Sunday Sun. And like I say again, I cover the Eagles primarily at this point in the season, but also cover the Phillies. We'll be out of a lot of flyers this year, and we're hoping to work some things out with the Sixers and all that. So we'll be out there, plus boxing, anything, you know, and basically any social commentary related to sports. That's the ChrisMurrayReport.org.
Well, you're welcome to come on the Globe any Saturday you're free. Come on the Globe and tell us more Philadelphia news. Flyers, Sixers, Eagles, come on in the Globe and give me the news.
Okay. I will.
Thank you.
No problem, dude. Thanks for having me.
Right, thank you. That's Chris Murray. My Chris Murray Report. You can read him online, in the paper. Mr. Murray, thank you for calling. We're going to take a break here.
Tune into One Love Radio on Wednesdays at 12 p.m. Pacific Standard Time with your hosts Rhonda Harper and Imani Wilmot on blogtalkradio.com.
If you're looking for real talk on sports, politics, and other important issues, tune in to The Bachelor Pad every Monday through Friday beginning at 6 p.m. Eastern Time. L.A. Bachelor and Tony McClain look to enlighten, empower, and educate people on the topics that people are talking about, but discuss them from a social, economical, and racial standpoint. It's sports, breaking news, updates, politics, great guests, and music in between. It's The Bachelor Pad every Monday through Friday beginning at 6 p.m. Eastern Time. Listen at www.thebachelorpad.biz. That's www.thebachelorpad.biz. Follow us at facebook.com/padnation and at Pad for Truth on Twitter. That's at Pad4Truth.
Check out In Our Opinion with Southern Eagle and Steel City Storm each Wednesday at 7 p.m. Eastern.
Yeah, dude, stop with the lectures, stop with the threats. Be a human being, let the guy go up there and say goodbye, for God's sake.
Rick Bakken is another one. He pounded me probably about 4 or 5 times in my career. I never want to fight Cam Neely, never want to fight.
And I knew with the power that I possessed, well, I could tear a man's ear off. Again, only in theory because never done it yet.
How do you punish an Amish kid? Make him watch TV for 2 hours?
Sports talk, sports talk, sports talk. The way it was meant to be.
As I brought it down in South Florida, the Pittsburgh Penguin fans, I would have wondered where they're at. I haven't seen them in a while. All right. Rookies. I want to get this rookie list of the NHL rookies this year. I wanted to watch out for these 8 players. Jacob Trumba of the Winnipeg Jets. Thomas Hurdle of the San Jose Sharks. Nathan McKinney of the Colorado Avalanche. Seth Jones of the Nashville Predators. Gene Monahan from the Calgary Flames. Alexander Barkov from the Florida Panthers. Eddie Mack, the goalie from Vancouver Canucks. And Darnell Nurse of the Amendola. Those are the eight guys, eight rookies you need to watch. The Jets, Sharks, Avalanche, Predators, Flames, Panthers, Canucks, and Oilers. They have eight stars that are rising in the NHL. Those are the eight stars. Hummel, Erta, McKinney, McKinnon, Jones, Moran, Markov, Mack, and Nurse. Don't forget the names. They'll be up-and-coming stars in the NHL. Okay, this is for Mr. A-Rod.
Be the new manager.
Monday, my Amore and the Middle East. Well, the Atlanta Dream aided them as my Amore, the greatest player in women's basketball, because the MVP with 23 points. The Lynx scored 10 points or breakaways as the Dream owned the paint. And the rebounds, it wasn't enough. The Lynx had too much firepower. And imagine being the coach of this team. Mr. Earl Reeves is the coach. He's been there 4 years. And he's won 2 WNBA titles already. On Thursday, in Osaka, Japan, Madison Keys moved into the quarterfinals, defeating Zhang will be her next opponent. So they have to go up against both the Chinese tennis stars. Japanese star Kamiko Sate Crum loses to countryman Masaka Do in the Japanese Open. When Thursday, David Garrard, quarterback, signed with the New York Jets to be backup and probably mentor to Geno Smith, which is a good thing. Geno Smith gives him a mentor. All right. We send our prayers out to Adrian Peterson as he loses his son for the alleged beating by his ex-wife, boyfriend. I don't understand that, but anyway, Adrian Peterson will play Sunday for the Vikings. On Thursday, the New York Football Giants. Well, folks, you are seeing a complete collapse of a football team. They're 0-6. Eli Manning threw 3 more interceptions. Bears win 27-21. I bet you in the Meadowlands this weekend the Boo Birds will be out in full force. No team and going to the playoffs 0-7. The Wild Football Club plays Dallas on Sunday. And the only hope is that the Wild Football Club beat Dallas on Sunday. And it'll be only 2 games out, which is very weird. The Oakland A's, oh man, here we go. Baseball, here we go. The Oakland A's lose the Detroit Tigers. And Jason Verlander had a terrible year. And what happens? He goes up against the Mets and he throws a no-hitter for 7 innings. Tigers move on to the ALCS today against the Boston, the Red Sox. And the National Network got their wishes. All four teams are the upper tier teams. Cardinals, St. Louis, Dodgers, LA, Detroit, Tigers, and Boston Red Sox. All four teams are upper tier teams, and all lower tier teams are out of playoffs. So, never got all they want. They got all the major cities. Okay, and this is why baseball is losing ground. Because they keep doing foolishness like this. Let the teams win. Let the lower teams win. The Pittsburghs, the Kansas Cities, the Seattle's, the San Diego's, No. We get out of that way. We had to have the Dodgers, the Yankees, the Braves, the Cardinals, Detroit. Wake up, baseball, wake up. On Thursday, my boys got dubbed on the state school of Rutgers. We're no match to the Louisville Cardinals and Teddy Bridgewater. And Teddy Bridgewater is going to be the number one quarterback drafted, no matter what you say, knowing the walkie. I don't care what you say to walkie. I bet you won't write anything about this guy. Anyway, Teddy Bridgewater throws for two TDs in a Louisville Cardinal victory on Thursday night. And Augie, I said, the streak is on at the LA Sharks. Win again, 4-1. And these guys are on fire! And the Sharks are undefeated going in the first 2 weeks of the season. It's Friday, you know what I'm going to say. You need homework? Did you help support black businesses? Or did you buy a black on Friday? If not, that's your homework for next week. On the cold, buy a black on Friday. I'd like to congratulate the world genetic champion, Simone Bliss. And Simone Bliss had to deal with the race, world racism, as a fellow competitor from Italy said during an interview that he wanted to paint her face black in order to win. Corrado Verdillo apologized later, but the cat was out of the bag. It was obviously a critique on Bliss' victory in Italy. The Italian Federation apologized and sent messages for apology to the American team, who happened to be predominantly black this year, the first year ever we had more African American than white athletes on the team. That's a good thing. In NASCAR, Jeff Gordon get the pole position at 194 miles an hour. In the Southern Motor Speedway with Bank of America 500, which is today. And it's a halfway point for the chase. Yeah, the Diddy. Yeah, USA, the USA soccer team. Get their bid for the World Cup games. When it went over Jamaica 2-0. And surprising Mexico and the struggle to get in. As they beat Panama 1-0 last night. They had to win one more game to get a World Cup game. That's very strange for the World Cup Mexican team. We'll take a break when we come back. When we come back, we'll do some NCAA action. First, I got to salute my boys from Raider Nation.
The autumn wind is a pirate. blustering in from sea. With a rollicking song he speaks along, swaggering voicelessly. The autumn wind is a raider, pillaging just for fun. He'll knock you round and upside down and laugh when he's conquered and won.
Raider Nation, let's go, Raider Nation, let's go, Raider Nation.
Are you ready for some football? You ain't ready for no football. You ain't ready for the Oakland Raiders. You see the patient of the Oakland Raiders. Are you ready for some football? You ain't ready for this football.
Ah! Here we come, baby. Just here, baby. Feel the storm or the cold or the wind, baby. It's the Oakland Raiders. Get your mouth beat. You in the black hole with the black beat. This ain't black gold, this is black silver. Commitment to excellence, we deliver. And we'll play past regulation. It's the invasion of the Raider Nation.
Raider Nation. Yeah, Raider Nation, black and silver. Victory last week in the NCAA. The Tiger did in a row of their victory. Even number one ranking, beating Georgia State. Why are they playing Georgia State? Ohio State did not get a purple haze as they beat Northwestern. As they end the Huskies beat the Owls, the Gamecocks of South Carolina may as well as the players clowning as coach will not believe the way he played in practice. Stanford ends the Owls of Washington and the Pac-10 hopes of the Huskies that they're gone and Stanford rolls over them. The Noles, Seminoles of the Florida State, beat Maryland. I mean, they whipped Maryland. The University of California Golden Bears get rolled by the Cougars of Washington State. And the first time in 17 years that the Cougars have won in Berkeley. They now play the UCLA Bruins today. That's going to be fun. The Missouri Tigers travel to Georgia Tech and they're going to get the Dean Rose. The Gators of Florida take on the Tigers of LSU. That's the game. The game of the day of CBS. Number 2, Oregon has his first test today with the Washington Huskies. And we'll see what happens. This is the class of the Pac-10. Oregon Ducks and Stanford are the class of the Pac-10. CIAA, yeah, Cowboy. Virginia State, they go to Vikings. Elizabeth City State, Vikings. And Shaw, they go on Fayetteville. And under Red Willis at that game today. In the MEAZ is the Great Family Feud as the Aggies of North Carolina A&T take on the Hampton Pirates. But mom against dad today, the Aggies are ranked number 3 in the Black College Bowls, while Pirates are struggling to get through this year. This could be the Pirates' big game of the year. Delaware State is at Norfolk State. Savannah State is at Florida A&M. Howard is at Bethune-Cookman. At the MEAZ. In the Missouri Valley Conference, my Lukies take on the professors of University of Northern Iowa. And the co-leader, Penguin, of Youngstown State, take on the Redbirds of Illinois State. And last, North Dakota State, take on the Bears of Missouri State. They have the college rundown for today in the NCAA. We go on to the NFL.
Thank you.
conversation. My Northern California friend of North, how you doing, bud?
Hey, 707 coming in here. It's 2 o'clock. Sorry, I was a little bit late. I'm on the cell phone here. I was on the freeway, and out here, you know, you can't talk and drive, so I had to pull over and wait in the queue here to get on. A couple things I want to talk about. One, actually two things. The first one is something that kind of slipped by without a whole lot of notice, and I know you were interested in it and you were watching it. Then that's the WNBA Finals.
Yeah, and Maya Moore, I mean, I've seen many, many basketball players in my lifetime. I have never seen anybody like this. Maya Moore took control of the whole series. I mean, Lee Bogart the series. Lee was the MVP, the Minnesota Lynx. When they're back to back, and nobody worried about this. Back to back titles. Back to back.
I know. Well, I know you were looking at, you know, the variety of top names that play in the WNBA, Maya Moore, Candace Parker, Brittany Griner. But this whole series went down, and I had to check yesterday to see, you know, where it was, and I saw it was over, and of course she got her kudos and congratulations, and everybody is talking about how great a job she did, but it completely slipped under the radar.
Well, I said this before, I'll say it again. The WNBA had to move their games to the ball. Either move before the NBA game or after the NBA game, because they have a captive audience. The audience will already be there to watch your game.
Let me ask you this, I mean.
In the summertime, people are tired of watching basketball. That's part of the problem. In the summertime, look, you have the L.A. Lakers and the L.A. Spartans. You have the Minnesota Timberwolves and the Minnesota Lynx. You have the Atlanta Dream and the Atlanta Hawks. Why can't the Dream play before the Hawks? Why can't the Sparks play before the Lakers? Or Clippers. You have the indoor audience there. It's summertime. Nobody go watch them. That's the problem here.
Well, I can understand that, but, you know, again, like with many sports, when the finals time comes around, that should be sparking the interest. And you've got a time here where, you know, you've got football starting, you've got baseball moving toward the playoffs. So even though there are other games on the schedule, there is a lot of sports interest. I don't know why the WNBA can't piggyback on top of that general interest.
Well,
you know, particularly...
The WNBA was to be like that. Remember the old World Football League?
Yeah.
What happened to the World Football League?
Well, you know, that always surprised me because there's such a insatiable demand for football through the NFL. You would think that if they put more football on the plate, people would go for it, but they did not.
But the World Football League made one mistake. Number one, if they went up in the summertime, nobody wants Super Bowl in the summertime. And number two, we're up against the NFL. You don't go up against the NFL and win most of the time. The only group that beat them were the AFL, the old AFL. And the reason why the AFL beat them is because they had a plethora of African-American players in their ranks. So they captured the African-American audience in the AFL. The AFL lost that rating war because African-Americans were watching the AFL for the AFL.
Uh-huh.
Right. Now, you said Maya, yeah, going back to Maya Moore, you said that she, you think she's one of the best players ever, period?
This woman can rebound, shoot, box out, run. I mean, she has a complete package. I mean, some people can shoot well. Like, Drazen can shoot well. Some people can out-rebound well, like Brittany Griner. Some people can, free throws, like, Deladon in from Delaware. But, Maya Moore has a complete package. They can rebound, they can shoot, they can score, they can buzz out. Maya Moore is the model female basketball player.
Let me ask you this, not that, you know, this is an old argument, you know, can you know, you put the top female against the top male or even an average male, but, you know, avoiding that comparison, you know, not to suggest that, you know, she would be better than or equal to, but you take her as the female with the most complete package, and you take a male, whoever that might be, with the most complete package, and not that they would compete against each other, but who would you say? Who would you say? Who would you say presents?
No, because if you put from Miami, number 6 of Miami. Oh man, come on.
Dwayne Wade?
LeBron James. You put LeBron James. Okay, Maya Moore. You know what's gonna happen.
No, that's what I'm saying. Let's avoid that argument. Let's avoid that argument. But I'm saying in terms of you take LeBron James and the degree to which he may present the complete package in the men's game, and you take her. I mean, we're scoring apples and oranges here, of course. But, you know, say you rank her at 100% in the female game, would you rank him at 100% in the men's game? Or do you think that there's room for improvement?
LeBron James is going to work on one thing and one thing only. That's his outside shooting. It's getting better. It's getting better than what it was years ago. It's not better than what it was. But
right.
The only weakness in LeBron James' repertoire is his shooting from the outside of the three-point arc. That's his only weakness. Everything else is exactly Maya Moore. Maya Moore can outshoot LeBron James. For real, I didn't think you'd outshoot LeBron James.
So what you're saying, if they played a game of horse, say, she could outshoot. Wow.
Maya Moore and LeBron James study the game. They study the game day and night. They understand where the ball goes off the rim. I understand where to be when the ball goes down off the rim to get put back up. Maya Moore and LeBron James know where the wings are. It's like Michael Jordan. That's why Michael Jordan was so good. He knew where the guy was going to be. He knew where other players were going to be before they got there. Maya Moore and LeBron James are just like that. They understand where their teammates are going to be. Where it's supposed to be. That's why their teams always win. Because they understand the complete package of the game.
Right. Okay, I'm going to have to get rolling here because I got an appointment I have to get to. I want to stay with you a little bit, but if you lose me, it's because I'm going through different zones.
I got Michael online, too. I'll bring Michael in, too. Go ahead. Mike, you there?
Yeah, I'm here, G. What's up?
Did a conversation?
I've heard the gist of the conversation, and I just came in on the tail end of it. You know, what's being underreported, severely underreported, is that there is a renaissance of women's talent basketball over the last couple of years. You know, you can talk about how great Maya Moore was, the immediate impact that Brittany Griner made because of her ability to dunk and run the floor, the skills of Elena Deladon. You know, I mean, if I had the money to bet, I would say that in the next Olympics, the sure thing ain't going to be the dream team. The real dream team is the women's team. They've been whipping ass for a whole generation. I mean, 20 years now. So, you know, there's a lot more ass whippings to come when you look at the potential lineup that could be there. But if you, when you made the point to Maya Moore, you have to remember, Maya Moore has been better at every aspect of her game, just like LeBron James has been. And in that playoff series against the Atlanta Dream, Maya Moore swatted away Angel McCautry's shot. Angel McCautry is at least 3 inches taller than her. So Maya has gotten better on her defense, for real. And I can tell you, there's a lot to look forward to in the women's game. Now, whether men will be willing enough to acknowledge the women's game and recognize and just enjoy it as great ball, that's a whole other story.
Hey, you know, that's the one thing that bothered me. I said it many times before. If the WNBA was tagging along with the NBA, look, you play either before the game starts or after the game starts, after the best game starts. But see, that way you have an audience already there. But the WNBA is sitting up playing, it's overtime. And it's very difficult to get people to go inside the 3 hours inside in the middle of them.
But you got to remember, Gary, they're trying to build something from the ground up. They don't have any more help from the National Football League as if they ever actually had any, or the National Basketball Association as if they ever actually had. They're in a different paradigm now, because now they've got to do everything in-house and they've got limited budgets in which to work with. I think, although I would rather see a best of five series as opposed to a best of seven, at the very least, they have something to work with. You know, women's sports has been shot down significantly many times when it looked like they might be on the verge of doing something. Here, the talent is so rich, it's hard to ignore. And maybe it'll be enough to sustain itself while maybe just women or followers of good basketball are watching now in these early stages.
Right.
You know, that's what they have to hope for. And if they can't get that, that's when they're going to be in trouble. And unfortunately, I can't stay on too long myself because I got a role. But the bottom line in all of this is that really Maya Moore should be lauded for the talent that she is. She's won at every level. She's won Olympics. She's won college championships. Now she's won women's professional championships. And everybody forgot, she won a championship when she was playing professionally over in China. So you can make an argument that the best winner in basketball right now, it ain't a guy. You know, it's that badass sister from Connecticut.
Yep. Number 23.
You know. All right, brother. Take care, everybody. Have a great weekend.
Thank you, man. Thank you for talking about it. Go.
Okay, Gary, 707 still here.
All right. What you got?
The other question, that I think deals pretty well with, you know, what had not been covered and should have been. The other point, which got a lot of coverage this week, and I know you got a lot of coverage on it, starting off with the Cleveland Indians, but Daniel Snyder of the Washington Football Club sending out his letter to ticket holders, somewhat backing off from his position of, you know, we will never change the name, but still explaining why he wants to keep the name. And there's comments now from President Obama and Commissioner Goodell suggesting that he take a second look at that. But his letter touched off a lot of stuff on the warpath.
Okay. The Washington Football Club and the Cleveland Indians on the verge of a major political firestorm. About 25, 30 years ago, it came up. And the Washington Football Club skated by easily because nobody had the effort outside the Indian community to fight this thing. This time, I think that the African-American community is getting behind this effort to change the name of this team. And because of the Washington Football Club, where it's located in the African-American community, when they move back to Washington, D.C., it will not fly. I don't care what Dale Nutter says. He cannot move that club back into Washington City proper name. That name. The mayor of D.C. has already stated that if you come back into D.C. city limits, that name must go. So he had no choice.
Right. Well, it's interesting how just this week, there was a lot of response. I saw it in the New York Times. I saw it in local newspapers. Saw it on the internet that the tide seems to be turning against the Washington Club, and there's been a great upwelling of attention around the Cleveland name, drawn around the fact that Cleveland once again lost a playoff opportunity, and revisiting the concept of whether it's a curse or whether, as you have called it, karma.
Well, they were told in 1962, they were told, you need to change that logo. They have refused to do so, and they have not won a national championship since then. The Cleveland Cavaliers have been to the playoffs 8 times. The Cleveland Browns have been to the playoffs 4 times. The Cleveland Indians. Came into the World Series twice and lost. So what did that tell you?
Well, you're not alone in speculating here that there's a curse. I mean, you had an excellent article on blackathlete.com, which I think got a lot of circulation. It, as you know, also got picked up on the NBC Facebook page.
I was surprised to see that. I mean, that amazed me that it got on there. I don't know how it got there, but...
Well, you know, maybe that's the... Maybe that's the magic of the curse working in different ways, that things materialize out of thin air.
Well, you know, our look, this has been going on for what, 50, 60, 70, 80 years now. The Cleveland Indians know better. They've been told over and over again that this is a red sand bowl. That's what it is, a red sand bowl. Like, if this was a Jewish version, I bet they would do that with a Jewish logo. I bet they would do that with a German logo. But they would do that with an English logo. They, because of the political and economic disparity among Native Americans, the power is not there to push the program. If you had economic and political, look, all you had to do is boycott the Cleveland Indians. Boycott the Washington Football Club. I bet you they get dragged right then.
Well, that's true. People who feel strongly about it can vote with their dollars.
That's right. And the, what happened to Wanda Bullets were losing African-American fans. Why? Because the name was Wanda Bullets. They changed the name to Wanda Bullets again. It's all good.
Right.
Daniel Snyder is an egomaniac. Daniel Snyder is an arrogant man. And being Jewish, I was surprised because he's Jewish and he ain't acting like this. I'm really surprised. You there?
Yeah, I'm still here. I'm still listening.
Okay.
I don't know what people to do.
Is to write to the Washington Football Club and write to the Cleveland Indians and tell them, stop the foolishness. Let's write and let's get a campaign going to end this nonsense.
Yep. Well, I know this is a theme you've been on for a good long time. I think you've been writing on it for, what, 7 or 8 years now?
8 years.
And I know you've grown frustrated with it, but it's now finally gaining traction. Whereas for a while there, I think you seem to be, you know, kind of shouting in the wilderness, but there's definitely the tide is turning.
Well, what really impressed me was 4 years ago, only one newspaper would decided not to use a name. Now there are 6 major newspapers that have not used the R word in their reporting of the Washington Football Club. So that 6 has almost doubled what it was 4 years ago. If we double it again in 4 years, that would be 12.
So
you're right. It is moving right, but we need to move with due diligence, speed, to get this done before the end of the decade. The Washington Football Club and the Cleveland Indian mascot need to be retired before the year 2020. Let me be that again. The Washington Football Club and the Cleveland Indian logo need to be retired before the year 2020. And 7 years to get their act together. 7 years to do their due diligence.
Well, you know, that's just another, 7 years of you writing on this thing, so 8 plus 7, 15. A nice round number to get something accomplished.
Okay. Well, I'm going to let you go because you're fading in. I'll let you go and roll and come back next week at 2 o'clock for the Gold Conversation.
Okay.
I'm from North Jersey.
Good to be a part of it and talk about things that are covered and not covered because they always get covered on the Cove.
That's right. We got the full house. I'm going to get out of here, brother. 3, 2, 1. Mr. Brown, come in the house. NASCAR, we get down to the last five, last five, last 500 last weekend as he moved into third place for the Sprint Classic Chase. He'll be in Charlotte, North Carolina this weekend for the Bank of America 500. And I expect Jimmy Johnson to win this thing. But right now he's only 3 points behind Matt Kenseth, so it's between Kenseth and Harvick and Johnson. There's an outside chance that Mr. Gordon can take the bye. I don't think he's going to make it. This weekend he had a pole position in Charlotte, and so we'll see if Mr. Gordon wins this weekend, he will move up in the standings and be the final four of the Sprint Chase Classic. Okay, if you stayed up last night in the East Coast, the National League baseball game between the Cardinals and the LA Dodgers, it ended at 10:40 Pacific time. We made it 1:45 in the East Coast. The Cardinals beat the Dodgers 3-2 at 13 innings. It was the second longest game in A's NLCS history. The Dodgers better get their act together because they have a limit on base. And Greinke had a 2-run lead and blew the lead as the Cardinals come back to beat the Dodgers 3-2. And there you go for the day. That's a wrap up for the Great Upper Gulf. Opening for the second time. Go to blackaddy.com and read the articles. Yes, lady. Our new sponsor, Virginia Reality Sports Group in Virginia. Thanks to WCNM 1450 and WCNMOnlineRadio.com, Richmond, Virginia, with Cowboy Reggie Howe. Colonel Michael Lewis dropped in, Soul Train on the Raw, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. And the Bastard Bad, BastardBad.biz, North Carolina. Pat Freeman, and he's doing a battle up there in Buffalo with the Buffalo Sports Complex. Pat Freeman, the Mighty Oba, WUFO 1080 Buffalo, New York. Doreen Wade, the New England Informer Magazine, CEO of Boston Massachusetts. And remembering the late, great Roy Rogers, CEO, BASN, New York City, New York. And Giovanni Rose Market, Giovanni's in Elsville, California. So I hope you enjoy the new opening of the Cove for the Cove Conversation. The Cove Conversation will be every week with a different host, like a different host every week at 2 o'clock. We'll see how it goes the rest of the year. Enjoy your football. Tomorrow, go Raiders. I don't know about Giants. But go Raiders. I'll see you next week on the bad side of the Great Upper Gulf. And our theme song for the Gulf of the Jersey Boys, the Idleys. Good night.
Yeah.